Now let me get this straight. You're saying that because you and me are friends, you're saying that that makes us niggers?
No. Niggers, aight? Niggers, a big difference.
That's what I just said. I said nigger.
No, nigger.
Nigger.
Nigga, N-I-G-G-A, nigga.
Nigga?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
But man, it means like we brothers. You know what I'm saying? Like if I say you my nigga, right, that means we boys. You see, like that man you playing right there? That's my nigga Charles.
Oh, my nigga Charles, right?
No, hold it. See, now you can't say that. Only I can.
Why?
Because, first of all, you don't say it right. And second, you don't know Charles. I do.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I've been knowing Charles since he was knee-high to a duck. See, me and Charles, nigga, we down.
You're down?
Yeah, down.
Well, of course you're down, Chico. You're down about $5,000 now. Give me my fucking money.
You know what? It is absolutely impossible to have an intelligent conversation with your white ass. Shoot poo, honky.
Once you win the games, you should be dice
playing space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game!
No!
Kill him.
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
I want you in the games until your dice play.
I can't play these video games.
Games of More Entertainment Radio.
Alright, this is Games of More Entertainment Radio, episode 80. I am C4.
And I'm Kobar.
And we're back after missing last week. 3 boxes of Kleenex later, 2 boxes of Theraflu, a pack of cough drops, and a bottle of NyQuil. I am okay.
I was sick the week before, but it was just a cough, and so we were able to edit all that out.
And you know what? I was actually told that the editing of last show was terrible. That it was like, really, what was the word? Really choppy.
Well, that's because you had to do it every 30 seconds.
For you coughing. Yeah, it was brutal. It was pretty bad. Because what I didn't realize was I would keep talking and you would cough half the time, so I couldn't cut them all out. But then right. You would cough and I had to clip whole sections, and yeah, that was, you know, it happens. We're not working with high-end equipment here.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have mixers and headphones and all that crazy stuff.
This would be nice.
That'd be awesome. But it'd be, like, all serious and
well, it wouldn't have to be.
Yeah, it would. It would be terrible. It'd be like, hi, I'm C4. This is January 27th, you know.
And here's the news.
Yeah. I don't think I could handle that. There wouldn't be enough laughing and giggling and dick and fart jokes to make it worth doing the show anymore. I don't think it'd be fun. I also don't think it would be fun if there wasn't a certain amount of opinion and speculation put in there. You know,
I think so. I mean, there's plenty of straightforward review things out there.
Exactly. There's plenty of that. Way too much. You know, more screwing around we need. Stuff like Penny Arcade.
Mm-hmm.
I like reading that because, you know, They have jokes in there and stuff like that, you know. Say, you know, something like that, I think. That's good stuff there. I like reading that. And, because we get in trouble, though, when we do not adhere to the facts.
Right.
Twice this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We got busted, okay? And it's, I think, because we don't do such a good job of always clarifying what is, we think, even though I'm sure I remember saying something about the PSP and how we were like, well, we're not sure because we don't have one and nobody here has one, so we haven't got to play with it. That sometimes gets missed, you know, and it sounds like when we're just messing around.
I should have seen the fact that they had the PSP people going to jump down our throats for having a whole DS show.
Exactly. That's kind of what happened. It's like we have the EverQuest show, we get, you know, everybody else down our throat, you know, World of Warcraft shoved down our throat, you know, which... again, plays into the whole us screwing around thing, because, you know, I don't really have a problem with World of Warcraft, you know, I really don't. I don't like it, which means I have to make fun of the World of Warcraft people, only because they make fun of the EverQuest people. That's all this is, you know? And people get a little serious about it, you know, a little too often, you know, and it's just like, you know, I'm screwing around, everybody's just trying to have a good time here, but, This week, we really got slapped around, because this is a pile. I got a half a forest here worth of why we suck, and this is awesome. I love this kind of email. See, another thing is, though, making people mad, this gets us more email than making people happy.
Well, always.
Yeah.
No matter what you're doing or what you're saying.
Whatever it is that we have to do to get the email to come in, because I dig reading email, although I'm sure everybody hates listening to me read email, because I've noticed when I edit the show and I have to listen to myself read the email, I'm terrible at it.
Reading is not very good radio, but that's okay.
It can be. I've heard it done really, really well. I have. You know, it sounds good. This is what I guess people get paid for, though. You know, like Tom Brokaw, this is the nightly news. He's pretty good at reading stuff. We're not good at reading stuff.
Well, he does it the whole time. Teleprompter.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we need.
Teleprompters?
Yeah. No, but we could set it up on the computer. Just let it have it scroll. That would be a little too scripted, though. Right. Insert laugh here. Oh, that was rich. It'd be like the Anchorman. Yeah, let's go ahead and start with the damage. Okay, this was about the PSP versus the DS, and we did the whole DS show, and I thought we did really well. I actually thought it was fairly informative. There was quite a little bit of little jab here and there to Sony, but it was a friendly jab to Sony about what we've heard so far, because Sony likes to talk up their product.
Yeah, they do.
You know, a whole lot. But there's a lot of Sony supporters out there that don't want to hear anything, you know. But anyway, we've got somebody here who sent us, which I dig, the straight facts of the whole matter, right? This is what that second thing that was printing out was,
right.
Was the, like, exact specs of everything, which I dig. You know, if we can get more emails like this, that's awesome. If you know, I mean, why don't we see more emails on reviews? I'm sure a lot of people out there playing games, but why haven't those idiots talked about this game yet? It's because we can't play everything. You know, we tried like hell to play anything sometimes during the week. You know, anything other than EverQuest. You know, hey, While I was sick, I managed to get, I'm going to say, I don't really know how long the game is, but based on what I've seen, it looks like about halfway through The Legend of Zelda, the Minish Cap.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I was sitting there on the couch. I could not play, I physically could not play any kind of like real, like a console game or EverQuest, a computer, any kind of computer game. I couldn't do it. I was a wreck. I was dying. I missed work. I was out for 4 days. I just laid there on the couch, and it was pretty cool. I dig chilling on the couch. You know, the thing that sucks is when you're sitting there, though, and your eyes are watering, and you're all messed up, and you think you're going to sneeze, and you're coughing. I couldn't talk for a whole day. That was awesome. You know, because it gave me an excuse to not answer the phone, which I usually don't answer anyway, but, you know. But I was able to play Zelda, and I'll tell you what, that game is seriously worth every penny that they're charging for it. It's what, $34.99, I think?
I think so.
I think it's, I was at $35, that, if, I'm gonna have to beat it though, I think, before I can finally say.
I'd like it to be longer.
That's what exactly I was gonna say, because if it's only them, it looks like, it appears like it's four dungeons.
And I'm on the fourth one now.
Really?
And I ended up having to quit for several reasons, haven't been able to pick it up since, but I even right up into that point, it feels like I'm on the last dungeon.
Shit. There's got to be more. There has to be something. There has to be. They can't leave. It feels like half a game if it's only going to be those four. Half a Zelda game. Right. Used to there being eight, you know?
And then a bunch of extraneous shit.
You know, yeah. Walking around weird puzzles out in the land and stuff. And there's plenty of that. There's plenty of cool stuff that just is out there. And you come across, like, all this shit that you've seen before. Lawn Lawn Ranch and that kind of crap. You
right,
know,
right.
You run across all these people that you know, from the world of the game is fantastic. I mean, it's great. If you like Zelda in any shape or form, this is a must-buy. I can't quite give it a rating yet, I guess, only because I have been playing it for quite some time, you know. So I'm going to have to wait on that and then play it some more. So we got an email. Let me stop rambling here. And let's see. From Prototype Zero about the PSP versus the DS. And he goes, hey, I just wanted to refresh your friend's memory. That was Hunter, by the way.
Right.
So I don't know if this guy didn't listen in the very beginning, but Hunter used to be on the show quite a bit. So he is our friend. Your friend's memory about the PSP pricing and things it comes with. I'm just a little bit disappointed because it looks like you guys talked about the PSP as though you didn't do any research on it and also didn't get to play the system. Now, I thought we said that. I thought we said, you know, just from what we've heard because we didn't have it. I really thought we said that, but my luck, it was in between two coughing fits of yours, and I had to clip it out, because I remember saying it, like, the words left my mouth, and I apologize if that didn't make it on the show, and everybody assumed that we played it, you know, and...
I apologize, too.
I don't think that happened, so... I almost threw you out the window. I was like, oh, my God. see, my little brother got the DS for his birthday, and I have had the chance to play and replay with it. And regarding the PSP, a Japanese video game store where I work at has a Japanese system for display that you can play with. So basically, I play with it every day. That's awesome.
So okay. He lives in Japan, or he just...
You got me. It's a, I don't know, a Japanese video game store where I work at, so I guess so. That's pretty cool. All right, now, release date, March 24th, so that's next month. Mm-hmm. That's a lot closer than I thought, really. PSP Value Pack, $249.95, so we got a hard set price for this now. This is what comes included in this value pack. Spider-Man 2 the Movie, first million value pack sold, I guess we'll have that Spider-Man 2 the Movie in it. Retails for $19.95.
Right, but once... the million are gone, then...
I guess you don't get any more Spider-Man 2. Right. What a bummer.
Well, I'm just saying, that can't really count in that, because that's almost like a pre-order thing. A million of a system this big is not that many.
Wait. Spider-Man 2 the Movie, 1995. Is he saying the movie?
Yeah.
Or the game, the movie?
No, the movie.
It comes with that.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
The first million.
See, this shows how much research I've done on the PSP so far. Okay, that's pretty cool. I assumed it was Spider-Man 2, the movie, like, the game. You know, they call it the movie now.
No, I'm pretty certain that it's... because, you know, that they've been talking about how they're going to have those movies on those discs.
Those little UMD things.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, UMD demo discs. Got video, songs, and game demos. A 32-megabyte memory stick duo, which usually retails from $24.99 to $39.99 solo. Headphones with remote control. Retails for $29.95.
Now, I gotta ask. You have a handheld device with earphones on your head, and you need the remote control because...
If I need a remote control in my car for the car stereo, you need a remote control for your handheld video game system.
Well, even that I can understand, because you can hold it, and you can press the buttons, and maybe the thing is just a little out of your reach, like if you're in a Durango or something.
In my little car, I roll the chair back so far like I'm like ghetto lowrider or something that I can't reach the stereo. And I'm so lazy. I mean, it's all of, 8 inches away from when I have my arm fully extended.
And in that situation, it is a more safe thing to be using that remote than to bend over.
It probably is, because, you know, I've heard that all, you know, the most accidents you have in a car are in a new car, and it's from screwing with all the gadgets. And I know that I damn well almost wrecked that car quite a few times when I first got it, because it was like, oh, wow.
But you have a device in your hands and headphones on your ears. Where does the remote control come into play?
I don't know. Well, maybe. Well, I'm not going to speculate, because we're going to get in trouble. But I think it would be... what if you had, like, MP3s on your little memory stick, and you had it, like, in your backpack or something, but you had the earphone thing running out, like, you had it attached to your ass or something, and you had, like, the remote control was radio, not, like, IR, but it was, like, radio frequency, so that it wouldn't need to be line of sight or nothing, and you could just, like, hold it in your hand while you were jogging or
that
something.
That would be a perfectly good use for that, yes. If it's radio.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what the deal is, but a battery pack, an AC adapter, a soft case, and a wrist strap retails for $29.95, and a cleaning cloth. That's quite a bit of stuff for $249.99.
It is, but most of it's crap.
Well, yeah.
A cleaning cloth and a wrist strap? I mean...
yeah, I know, huh?
This is stuff I would rather not have.
Oh, the case might be kind of nice.
The case would be nice, but let me buy the system and the system alone.
Okay. In April, Sony will release the unit on its own for $199.95. So for $200. So for $50, you're missing quite a bit of stuff, it sounds like. I mean, if you don't get a memory stick, which is, we'll say, about $25 to $40, the headphones and remote controls, $40, the case and the wrist strap, $30, and that's a lot of money there, you know, plus Spider-Man 2, if you get the first million, that's $200. Now the DS, $149.95. Included. Metroid Hunters, what is it called? Metroid Prime Hunters demo?
Yeah, I think so.
AC adapter, Nintendo DS stylus, battery pack, and wrist strap. And Hunter said the processing power of the DS is between a Nintendo 64 and a GameCube, where really it's just 7 megahertz faster than the Nintendo 64 by the numbers. The GameCube clock frequency is 485 megahertz. Nintendo 64 system clock frequency is 93.75 megahertz. The DS system clock speed, 67 megahertz. Second processor clock speed, 33 megahertz. So that is pretty weak. And that's two separate processors that they're adding together to get that 100, you know. So as you can see, in processing power, it doesn't even come close to the GameCube. But he did say it was between, right?
Which is true.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you gotta understand Hunter here, okay?
But that is a point that it's much closer to the N64.
Yeah. No, this thing is not like you're holding a freaking PlayStation 2 in your hands, like Sony will have you, you know, go with the PSP, so we'll see that powerhouse. Now, on the memory, I mean, he breaks everything down here. This is great, because I like knowing exactly what we're getting our hands on here.
Mm-hmm.
The GameCube memory, I guess it has 40 megs of memory. The Nintendo 64 has 4.5 megs of memory, and the DS has 4 megs of memory.
Well, it has 8.
The DS?
No. The N64, if you include...
Oh, get the little memory pack thing?
Which I assume just about everybody had by the end.
I didn't have it.
You didn't have it?
No, I didn't have it. I didn't have any game that used it, though.
Oh, I had a couple.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Once again, the DS is close to the N64 only, but still far away from the GameCube. So in comparison, the DS is basically a Nintendo 64. And I know you're probably going to say that you can play the old Game Boy Advance games on it, but if someone is going to buy the DS, they already have the PS, or the SP, and would much rather prefer to play it on the SP than the DS due to the size and weight difference of it. And also, the second screen would be useless. Yeah, the second screen is useless, and the DS is much heavier. It really did seem like it was meatier, you know? And I like my Game Boy SP. I really do. It's small. It folds up.
I like the size of the DS as far as the length. Or the... What dimension would you call that?
I guess length. Not the width. No, the width is length. It's not the height. So, yeah, it's the length.
End to end.
From end to end, it's long. It's about the size of, you know, an old Game Boy Advance.
And it fits better in my hands. I don't cramp up when I'm holding...
That's it. That's just it. You know, there is always that to take into consideration.
But the PSP is longer, too.
You know, the PSP is longer. Yeah. And, I don't know, I really like the way the DS felt, though. And I would prefer to play Game Boy Advance games on the DS. I would, personally. Based on how it felt... That's just it, you know. My hands cramped less.
I imagine with the less graphic-intensive game and one of the screens not being used, the battery life playing an advanced game was going to be quite a bit more.
Probably. Okay. Now, let's see here. The PSP screen is brighter than the DS. Now, the DS screen was perfectly fine. I mean, there was no issues with brightness there at all, so... A brighter screen is a waste of battery. If you've got bright enough, and then you've got over-bright. You know, they do have an adjustment, though. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you can adjust. The DS is a little heavier than the PSP. That I find amazing. Because, you know, Sony's packing in, like, 10 Cray supercomputers into the size of, like, 2 packs of cigarettes. And Nintendo here is aiming for something, you know, around the Nintendo 64 range, and apparently it weighs more. The PSP has 2 333 megahertz processors, and the DS wireless range is from 30 to 100 feet. That's pretty far. That's a lot far. I just assumed it was 30 feet, mm-hmm. But 30 to 100 feet is pretty far. Let's see, and yeah, the thing you were talking about was the thumb guard. I knew that thing existed.
Oh, the...
The little thing that strapped on your thumb.
The stylus on the thumb.
Exactly, yeah. Right? It's together on the wrist strap. Once again, Hunter doesn't seem to know what he's talking about. That doesn't surprise me. Let's see, now...
But in his defense, he hadn't messed around with it all that
He
much.
Had it for, like, hours, you know? Like, he had it for what? He had it for the week? Well, didn't he get it the week before that?
Right.
He played Spider-Man for, like, I don't know, he got past the first level, didn't really play it. Then he got Mario and then started playing it. And it was, like, that day before he got Mario, because I saw him. So, I mean, he didn't really check it out that much, and Hunter's just like that. I go through it, man. I, like, break all that shit on the table and, like, inspect every piece.
Yeah.
I get all into it. Hunter doesn't care. He goes, does this thing play games? Yeah, turn it on. Let's see this, you know? I get into all the crap about it, though, you know, all the stuff. Mm-hmm. I like that. Let's see. Now, you said the Sony will have us using memory sticks again. Well, that is true, but you're forgetting that if you have a Sony camera, you can use the memory stick on the PSP. And also look at the pictures you took right on the PSP, and you can also put MP3s on the memory stick, as well as movies, and save your games, so it's very versatile.
This whole Sony memory stick, to me, kind of sucks ass.
This is what I was trying to get across when I was saying before, because he says, let me edit his sentence here. He says, now you said about the Sony, Sony will have you using memory sticks again. Well, that is true. But you're forgetting that if you have a Sony camera, and a Sony TV, and a Sony can opener,
and a Sony Vaio in order to get that memory card onto the computer in order to get the MP3s.
Exactly.
It's very proprietary.
Exactly. That is my problem with this memory stick. It's Sony's thing. They got it locked down. You're not using it unless you strictly buy Sony stuff. And I don't want to buy strictly Sony stuff. Okay? Because I don't like a lot of Sony stuff.
Or even if I did, I don't want to be forced into it just to get the most out of it.
Exactly. It's not a good thing, so.
It is if you have all those Sony products.
And if that's your thing, if all your neighbors, in Japan, I guess if all your neighbors have Sony and you buy all Sony, that's what you do. You know, it's like a mental thing. It happens here, but I guess it's really big that.
If you have a Vaio and you have a PSP, yeah, that's a really cool thing that you can put MP3s on it and now you don't need an MP3 player.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera. That is a cool thing, but you have to have all that junk.
Exactly. Your laptop breaks. Your Sony Vaio breaks. Crap. You have to buy another Sony computer. You can't go build whatever you want, you know? So, I don't like it. I just don't like it. You know, I don't like being locked down to this Sony stuff. I'm sorry. Let's see. And it's a package he even knew exactly. I mean, this blows my mind here. Now we're talking about like a $2 part here. It's a package of 3 styluses, not 5. And it's stereo speakers, providing virtual surround sound depending on the software. Sure, I'm not such a big fan of the DS, but I did love the SP and all the other systems before that, and I really do love Nintendo. They just didn't do so good with the DS. So I would be happy if you guys just took a minute from the next show to clear that up real quick, because a lot of people listen to the show, and people believe in what you guys say, and you've been doing the show for quite a while now. Nobody better believe in what we say. So,
take it all with a big gold gallon of salt.
Yes, that is, we're just having fun here, screwing around, exactly, trying to, you know, it's entertainment. That's why it's not news radio, it's entertainment. Right now, and yeah, I mean, he printed out every single, this is awesome. I don't mean to, like, sound like I'm bashing on him at all,
I am sure the PSP is going to be an awesome thing.
I'm saying that I was impressed with the DS was the thing. Mm-hmm. Is that from Sony, I've heard nothing but nothing. Nothing that mattered, basically. I've heard nothing but it's going to do this. Okay, well, the DS I've seen do this. So that means more to me because I've seen it do it than the PSP has said it's going to do, which is really what it came down to.
They said the PS2 was going to fly to the moon itself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, Sony's really good about this. 73 bazillion polygons. Well, yeah, it comes down to like 4 when you put a game on it, though. You know? But yeah, yeah, we're Sony.
It'll push that many black polygons.
But yeah, wireframe, it can do that. But, you know, nobody's going to... That doesn't matter. That doesn't mean shit to us. But anyway, I'm looking right at all the stats right here, and basically we read off everything. So that's... You know, I mean,
well, I don't think we did that PSP stats.
Yeah, well, we did enough of them, like the clock speeds. There's 333 megahertz processors in there. The PSP weighs 8.36 ounces. The DS weighs 8.84 ounces. All right. And let's see, what else we got here? Main memory, 4 and 8. Let's see, video memory, 2 megs on the PSP. It doesn't actually say here. I assume it shares that.
How does the PSP...
Oh, no, 656K on the DS.
How do these machines push that kind of polygon and those kind of graphics when you need a gig on your computer?
I don't know. This is why I don't design this crap. Wow. Check this out. Video output. 3-inch TFT LCD. 256 by 192. On the DS and there on the PSP, you've got 480 by 272. That's pretty cool. A 4.3-inch screen. That's quite a bit. 16.9 widescreen. Even
it is a pretty big screen.
That's cool. That's nice. Plus a 1.8 gig disc. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got that nice projectile weapon there that is 1.8 gigs. That's fat though. You know, that's good.
Well, I saw on Slashdot that Sony did say that okay, there was a button problem.
Oh, really?
In Japan, they said, everybody send back your PSPs, we'll fix them for free.
Nice. Okay. And I remember, didn't Nintendo have problems with some of the pixels on the screens, and Nintendo, a while back, said, just send them back in and we'll send you it back, I've repaired with a new screen?
I think so.
I think they had, there was a few that got shipped out with dead pixels on them, yeah. So, let's see. Yeah, they both have 802.11. One's not specified. One's 802.11b, at least on this. The PSP says B, and the spec sheet I'm looking at here for the DS does not say. And both lithium-ion batteries. The DS says 6 to 10 hours. The PSP says 4 to 10 hours. And the PSP says it'll charge fully in 2. And the DS in 4. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, pretty nice stuff, though, either way. And I'm dying to see the PSP, what it can do. And I'm dying to see if it's got a lot of fun games on it, because Nintendo's little DS there is a pretty slick machine. I was really impressed by it.
There's only one that has really caught my eye in the PSP opening startup.
Ease 6.
Is that going to be startup, though?
No. Well, yeah, they said, what did they say, April something, I think? April or
May? Maybe two games, then. Yeah, that one looks
hella
sick. I won't
buy that one portable, though.
No.
I'm buying that on the PS2.
Yeah. But,
I am buying it.
There's that one that's, Untold Legends, something like that. It's like, Champions of Norrath.
Oh, nice.
It looks sick. Nice. It looked really cool.
That's awesome. That I will really get into.
And then there's that Metal Gear Solid game. It's like
Metal Gear Acid
cards or something. What the heck is up with that?
Could be pretty cool though.
I tried to read a little blurb about it, and I couldn't even grasp what was going on.
Some of those card games are incredible though. There was a game called like Acromage or something by a 3DO that had me hooked for weeks.
Well, yeah, but this is as far as I can gather, and I might be way off. But as far as I can gather,
we're gonna get email about this. I hope we do, though. I want people to send us information. It's awesome.
As far as I can gather, you walk around as a person, and then you come into a room with guards, and you, like, use cards to get through the room.
Yeah,
it's like, really...
What I gathered, too, but I don't know how it's going to actually play out. But I don't know. I'm sure it's got to be fun. You know, I mean, I'm sure they put enough effort into it to make it fun. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm dying to find out. I'm hoping somebody buys one so I can play with it, because I don't plan on buying one to play with it. And we keep saying, go ahead and send us email, because email rocks. I really do enjoy getting email. You know, we get to hear from all the listeners and hear honest, real, actual facts. And the email address, it's c4.gameradio, GAMERADIO, @gmail.com. Okay? And let's see, I got another email here. And let's see, hey guys, it's Bobo12 here, giving you some updated info from the stuff you've been talking about on the past few shows. He was the one who knew all about the Donkey Kong games that I botched a while back, I believe. And once again, I botched it up, apparently. So, let's see, first off, I gotta give you some bad news on the new Star Fox. Maybe you found out since you talked about it last show, but the game still has Star Fox Adventures-like content.
We did find out about that.
You did, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't pay attention, because I've been sucked into the world of Norrath, and I don't get out very much.
Yeah, I was very disappointed when I found out it was not going to be a classic Star Fox situation.
That sucks.
I enjoyed the tank in the 64 one. I enjoyed the C one too. Mm-hmm. They were nice breaks.
Yeah.
They didn't happen often enough. It was still about the R wing.
Yeah, and flying around and kicking ass. But that walking around with the
stick and yeah.
Screw that game. All right. Well, let's see. Thankfully, it's more okay. Well, this sounds not too bad though. Let's see, thankfully, it's more like the ground based missions from Star Fox 64 with different vehicles, but it still has some fetch quests in it. So that hopefully shouldn't be too bad. Next up, Donkey Kong...
Quickly, there are guns, too, instead of just the stick in Star Fox Adventures, which might help.
Oh, okay, yeah. It doesn't help. Not for me. Next up, Donkey Kong Jungle Beat. I just wanted to clarify the control scheme for the game. Yeah, exactly, because we didn't know. And I thought we were clear when we were stumbling around, guessing, just trying to figure it out. But apparently we did make it sound like we knew exactly. But no, we were guessing. I thought we made it sound like that. It's not so much an automatically scrolling screen where you just react to whatever the game throws at you from the right side, which is originally what I really thought.
Yeah, me too.
Let's see. The conga drum actually gives you left and right movement direction, with left drum being moved left and right drum being moved right. You can also regulate your speed by how fast you beat the drum. Hitting both drums simultaneously causes you to jump while clapping to the microphone unleashes your attack, where DK actually slams his hands together. There will be moments in the game where the game employs a bunch of context-sensitive events triggered by a well-timed clap. For example, Donkey Kong can grab an enemy mid-air, and depending on which bongo you hit, send him packing to the left or the right with a strong punch. That's pretty awesome.
Overall, that sounds infinitely more fun.
Better than what we thought.
Well, and infinitely more fun than the game the bongos came with.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's move on to the Nintendo DS. Believe it or not, the little thumb wedge you can use on the touchscreen comes with the DS, and I am so kicking Hunter's ass when I get a hold of him later tomorrow. If you look in the box, there is a wrist strap hiding in there somewhere. After you attach the wrist strap, you'll see a loop on the end of it which you slip your thumb in, and you have the thumb pad. The thumb pad makes a big difference in Mario 64.
Oh yeah.
As it's the closest you'll get to the analog stick in the game.
That way you don't have to hold that one button to run, because that totally destroyed the gameplay.
It does.
Having to try to hold that run while you were going to do the long jump or something, it just doesn't work.
No, exactly. It's not the same game anymore. Let's see. Just to get the analysis of the game. Now more of the technical DS stuff. If you use your GBA SP for linking to the GameCube or playing multiplayer games over the Game Boy Advance to the GBA System Link, you better not sell it off. The DS does not have the link cable port used on the GBA SP, so neither is possible.
Aha!
Also, you've got the file transfers. Okay, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
Right? That sucks. Also, you've got the file transfer situation mixed up on the system. I thought I had this right. What it actually enables you to do in some games is download the multiplayer portion of a DS game to another system, which I thought that's how it worked. So you can play certain games, multiplayer stuff, with just one copy of the game between these systems.
What did we say?
I have no idea, but I could have. That's how it was in my head. It was just like this.
Well, I think you said upload to the other one, which would be the proper terminology.
Well, yeah. I don't know what it sounded like. I don't know. We must have messed it up pretty bad then. However, once you turn off the system, the program is deleted. Okay, that we weren't sure about, because we said that. Another thing you might not have realized is that the DS actually has a built-in microphone in the bottom half. I had no fucking clue. I had no idea.
Yeah, you have to blow it like that one Yoshi game where you draw the clouds that I was talking about. You blow into the microphone and it erases the clouds so you can do it again.
Wow.
If you mess up.
That's wild. I had no idea. I had no idea. Okay, and see, he says, well, at least at this point, this is maybe he didn't know about the Yoshi game. So far, the only game that uses it is Feel the Magic XXXY. There's one mini game where you have to scream at the DS to try to get the girl's attention in a crowd. I bet that looks funny when you're, like, on the bus. Hey, baby!
Or at lunch at school.
Hot stuff over here. There are several other mini games that require you to blow on the microphone to either blow out candles, or provide wind for a sailboat. In regards to the wireless connection, there is a company that Nintendo is neither confirming nor denying that is allegedly working on a computer program that will allow you to use your wireless internet connection to play Nintendo DS games over the internet. And I heard about that, too. If you've ever heard of the Warp Pipe project, yes, I have, that some programmers have made enable you to play GameCube games over the net, Nintendo has supposedly purchased the technology from the group and may be using it for the DS.
Hmm.
Wow. Now, if you're quick enough, the page is www.ds.advancedmn.com/article:PHP?ARTID=1255. So, thank you very much, though. I'm glad we got, you know, I mean, this is, I'm glad
we'll throw that on the show notes.
So, what? Oh, yeah, the link. Yeah, I'm going to have to. Damn it. All that work. I've been slacking on the notes because nobody reads them anyway and nobody uses the links anyway. And it's a pain in the ass to find game real websites for the games. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's not. Like, especially Konami.
When you do find them, they're crap anyway.
Well, sometimes. Sometimes they're dope, but they're in Japanese. And that does us a lick of good. Now, let's move on to the crap that we did play this week. Because not all of it's crap, and some of it, actually,
really cool.
Some of it was ghetto. And let's start with the ghetto of the ghetto. And I can't, I don't even know why I played this, but it was on the disc. And
oh,
I thought, I gotta
no.
fuck with this for a minute. It was Dukes of Hazzard, Return of the General Lee. This was a riot.
Oh my god.
I was laughing so hard because this game is so bad. It's not worth a dollar. No collision, your car's invincible, the terrible physics.
There was one part, I didn't actually play this game, there's one part where, C4's fishtailing left and right and not actually moving.
The car controls terribly.
And there's a cop right there next to him.
We're supposed to be running from the cops.
Yes, the cop is right there next to me. You can hear the sirens, you can see the hood of the car, and the cop is just standing there waiting for C4 to get going.
Now, where's
the skill?
Yeah, I thought at some point I was going to get busted for something. You
know? What the hell's the point?
It starts out and you have to like go get paint or something to paint the General Lee. So we thought, okay, you know, maybe I was thinking maybe it's like Grand Theft Auto where I've got, you know, the town to drive around in. It's got Cletus in it. You know, it's got all the freaking people. The old guy. It's
this
got
actually
Daisy.
Would have been a situation where the GTA model would have been
been a lot better. Absolutely. Because I remember watching the TV show as a kid, and it was all about them knowing the way through the streets, being able to outrun the cops and crap and take the high road and jump over the creek and whatnot.
Yeah.
But it's got a bunch of terrible one-liners, you know, peppered throughout it. And it does have the narrator guy, though. You know, every now and again, the good old boys were driving down the road and the cop got on them. You know, whatever. It's so funny.
The only way I could even recommend renting this game
is if you are whacked out on drugs.
Well, that would help. But also if you thought The Dukes of Hazzard was the ultimate TV show of all time.
Yeah.
Then it's a rental.
Yeah, at best. This game is terrible. I don't know how old this is either, but I happened to play it today, so I had to talk about it because it was bad. I don't know, but I don't even know where I dug this up, but it was terrible. Terrible. Now, there was another terrible game we got to play. Oh, you didn't see this. I tried to play it anyway. The Punisher. Another a movie-based game. I knew this was going to suck. I don't even know why I bothered.
It's a movie and a comic book game. All at once. It had no chance.
You're right. That was going to lose from the start. I mean, there was one cool thing about it. One cool thing. The rest of it, bad voice, bad acting, bad animation, bad graphics, bad sound, bad weapons, bad sounding weapons, bad controls, bad level layout. This game was shit. And the only cool thing about it was that the controls even sucked. But the controls that you did use anyway, like the L and R, one of the two shoulder ones, would shoot either hand. That was actually pretty cool when you
that
had
cool
two
idea.
Weapons,
yeah.
Because you could really mess some dudes up. And it was kind of neat that you were like pulling triggers on both hands. I thought it was cool.
Yeah,
I don't know. It was weird because I guess I've just never done it before. I've never played a game where you had two weapons and you used the trigger for each one. I don't know. And I know I'm betting that something real popular does this now and I'm going to get tore up. Like Halo. Can you just see Halo being like that? You know,
maybe.
Halo 2?
I haven't touched it.
I haven't either. I haven't had a chance. Well, I'm about to, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because... Yeah, anyway, we'll get into that later. But,
okay.
You know, remember, wasn't it supposed to be available in January for us for real cheap?
Oh,
yeah. It's like end of February now, because we've been playing EverQuest for so long. The time
That's
went by.
Right.
Yeah, so it's going to cost like $5, so I'm all over that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We also tried to play... Well, I gave it a whirl because I was into like bad games for the day after I saw the greatest game in the world, anyway. This MX versus ATV Unleashed crap. Now, which actually wasn't terrible. It's that I suck at it. But it seemed, I don't know, it seemed like it really could have been a lot of fun.
It seemed like it was a subpar thing.
Well,
something
they all kind
if
of
you
suck.
Really,
like an ATV off-road.
If you really like those kind of games.
Ultra Turbo. Sorry.
If you really like those kind of games, it's probably worth picking up.
Yeah, because you got the Supercross bikes. And the ATVs.
Right.
You know, and the sound was bad. The whole time you just hear, zzz, 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 you know, and the crowd was like a pretty ghetto. I mean, like, I'm sure that's how they made the sound. Just some guy.
One dude going,
yeah. I'm sure it was. It was bad. It wasn't very good at all. But I'm sure it's a good weekend rental.
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain that it would be pretty fun, get some friends over, you know, and play multiplayer. But I don't know. I was really into like the stunts. That's what I kept trying to do on the Supercross bike. You know, I was really into that.
You'd think they would actually do something like at least points or maybe add some nitro or whatever.
See, I kept trying to do some kind of crazy shit like that too. And
I don't think you ever landed one though.
No, I didn't. But that's all right. It was all about the style. And you had a button.
So maybe you do.
So no, I'm pretty sure you don't. Oh well, like if I would have landed one, like bonus points. Maybe. But maybe. That would have been all right.
Take time off your score.
Yeah. That would have been cool. Your guy gets up pretty quick, though.
Yeah.
You know, so it keeps the action pretty fast, which is a good thing if you're looking for, like, an arcade-style racer, you know, well,
that definitely
was
what this was.
You know, yeah. So, I don't know, it wasn't terrible, but it was, I suck at it and it's really not my thing, but it was, I don't know, I don't know what it is about these games that, that aren't very good, but they're not Mario Kart. They're not as fast as Mario Kart 64, like it's that furious fun type. You know, there was one on the Dreamcast I played that was dope and I had no idea what it was called. And you had like these little turbo things and you controlled them with the triggers. Like, both triggers down was straightforward.
Let oh, up on, I like those.
You know, yeah, it was cool. That game was awesome.
I like the tank games that control
yeah,
like that, too.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That's one. We need another one of them Super Battle Tank games, like on the Nintendo 64. I missed that shit. Yeah. That was a lot of fun. Now, we did play some actually good stuff this week. In fact, quite a bit of good stuff, actually, the more I look at my little notes here that I forgot about. This game, actually, for the Xbox... Unreal Championship 2. I did not care for the first one too much. Right? It was probably worth the $20 it was put out on, I guess. I mean, it's just... Eh, I got Unreal on the computer, and this tried to be that, and it was just a
flat-out port, wasn't it?
You know, I don't think... Not completely. You know, like, I mean, it was different than, like, our Unreal. Mm-hmm. Well, the PC Unreal, right? But this one, Unreal Championship 2... This is weird. This is a really hard game to talk about. Because you watch video of it, and you're like, this is going to be the fattest game in the world. And you envision yourself playing this on a PC. And then when you grab the controller and I sat down and started actually playing, half the time I was longing for my keyboard and mouse setup. Mm. And the other half of the time, I was praising the gods that I had a controller in my hand. And unfortunately, that broke the game.
Yeah, there's no great home for this. Although, I imagine the people who play a lot of Halo on the Xbox would kick
the shit out of people. Like, yeah. And I would like to be one of those people. I would like to be really good at this game. Because it's fun. Bottom line, Unreal Championship 2 is a fucking blast. It's rated mature, 17+. And it's probably somewhere between all the blood and the incredibly hot chicks that are wearing next to no clothes. Right? I'm not sure which it got the 17 rating for. But it's a blast. It really, really is fun. It looks immaculate. On an Xbox, even.
Yeah.
You know? It's beautiful. The sound, I found a bit lacking for an Unreal game. Usually, like, in most games, I turn the sound off. The music, anyway, sucks. I usually leave sound effects on, the music sucks. The sound effects in this were pretty good. The sound effects were fine. It was the music that I didn't find I liked so much. On the computer Unreals, I always tend to have the music cranked way up, and, you know, I'm just...
Get that adrenaline pumping.
Exactly. That's what I'm looking for. You get the... Exactly. That's exactly what this game was missing. It was missing the heat of the battlefield. Mm-hmm. You know, it just didn't suck me in. It wasn't loud enough. It wasn't in your face enough, you know? It was really strange. And I tried. I adjusted the volume and did everything I could to crank it up, and it just didn't have that punchy music that got you into it.
Of course, you didn't have your subwoofer hooked up to the...
Yeah, but, I mean, it wasn't... a catchy tune, either. It wasn't, like, something that could, like, get into your head, either. It was just kind of like, eh.
Now, for those that don't know, the reason why it's halfway should be on the
computer...
I'm
working on it.
Oh, okay.
I'm working on it. I was going to say, because we were talking about the music, the graphics, outstanding. Mm. Out fucking stand. This game was developed for the Xbox from the ground up. It is not ported from anything.
And they did a good job using the Xbox.
They did. They did. It is also playable in first and third person, and you kind of switch between the two as you want. The only catch is that when you're using your guns, you can pick. Mm-hmm. They added melee weapons to Unreal, and then it's third person only, which...
It is the way it should be.
...is incredible. It really is. I was blown away... by the awesomeness of the melee combat in this game. It needs to be a game on its own.
I think that
with a few more moves. They took, imagine playing Street Fighter in...
With eight people.
You know, with eight people. Yeah, you can play eight people on Xbox Live on this. Four, I guess, only on the Xbox, though, like, single by itself. That's kind of ghetto, you know, because I didn't see anything about a System Link hookup either, but I maybe that's possible. But, yeah. What the hell was that all about? It didn't flow quite right, I think. I don't know, it just felt weird. Like, when I'm using the guns, it's really hard to aim, okay? And I'm sure that's because I suck You know, yeah. I'm sure that is all me. I suck.
I try to play a console FPS and it just doesn't happen.
Exactly. So, but there's some people out there that are like, oh, you guys suck. That's a non-issue. Great. Because you're going to love the way they did the targeting in this. And I think it's a good step forward. The way they did the targeting in this is when you're in melee mode, you can actually lock on your target, okay? Mm-hmm. Because you're not trying to, you know, dodge and flip around all crazy. You're basically playing like Street Fighter with them. You know, you're just busting out moves and whooping their ass and trying to block and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But when you have your gun out and you use the lock button thing, when you got a dude highlighted, like select, you're like right in front of you, you can hit the lock target. It puts like a circle around them. And it's cool because you still have to aim completely. But the circle just makes it easy to finally see your damn target. Because it's hard to see the dude walking around, you know?
And doesn't it, like, kind of keep you in the same direction?
No, it does nothing for you. Okay. It does nothing for you than highlight the thing. So if it kept me, like, in the same direction, it would help me. Because I have issues. I can't move as fast as I want to move. Because when I play Unreal on the computer, I got some moves, all right? I seriously can, you know, fly around. You can zip around and turn somersaults. All kinds of ridiculous shit. Mm-hmm. Because you have your mouse. And it's fast and nice and extremely deadly accurate. The controller, you can adjust the setting of it and everything, but it just not, it's not the same. It's not super accurate. So when the guy flies over my head, it takes me a while to stop and turn around and target his ass again. Mm-hmm. On the computer, you fly over my head, I would have blasted your shit to nothing in midair. Okay? It's just like that on a console for me. It's just hard. So it felt a little awkward. The melee combat, though, is so much fun. And they put mutators in this game, you know, so you can adjust the rules of the game.
Right.
You can put in, you know, super damage, insta-gib, I'm sure is there, you know, low gravity type of crap, stuff like that. You can remove the guns. You can play matches melee only, which I think is the shit.
You know, the problem is, though, then you're playing half the game.
Exactly.
If it had been all melee and they did nothing but fine-tune the melee and add more moves and stuff, that would be really, really sick.
It would, because there's just not enough moves. And yet, there's still some moves. There is still some of the coolest stuff I have ever seen a video game character do in this game. Mm-hmm. Hands down. I've seen some neat characters flying around the screen doing crazy flips and whatnot. They got nothing on some of these people in Unreal Championship 2. Honest to God. Some of the crazies, and that Lauren chick that flies around and does all that crazy stuff is badass. And you've got Anubis and that crazy, what was her, Selka or whatever. Selkit. Yeah, the princess chick. They're just badass. You can play the Scar guys, you know, like the big old burly creatures from Unreal that everybody likes. They got like unique pistol guns too, finally, you know, rather than having everybody the same, like ghetto pistol when you have no power. You've all got like new pistols and shit. You can freeze people with them, and you have like finishing moves, like in Mortal Kombat. And you can walk up to them and do like a special move, and you feel like you're playing Mortal Kombat, but in a giant arena. And it's fast though, because you can, okay, there's sniper rifles in this too. And you know you're thinking, oh my god, this is so gay. Me and two guys are gonna be duking it out while some assholes plinking us off, right?
This is an awesome feature.
Right? You've got two ways to take out that sniper, okay? One, when you're in melee mode, you have a shield, which will reflect the weapon. Right.
You have to bat it back at him, though, right?
Exactly. You can't just hold it out. You have to hit it, and your guy will, like, deflect whatever's right at him, right in front of him at the time. You can't just hold the button out. So you have to, like, tap it just right. So to deflect a sniper, I imagine it's impossible. But,
or at least really frickin'
tough. If it happens, it'll probably be an accident, you know, and people will be screaming, oh my god, hacks online. I can see it now. But, like, with a rocket launcher, it's not so impossible. You know, to reflect the shot, because you see that slow shit coming at you, and it does, a ton of damage and will kill them when it goes back. You're in melee mode, you have, like, you know, the sniper target, you know you're getting shot, you know which direction, because it'll, like, show you which direction, you spin around, you can target them no matter how far away they are, it seems like you can go really far away, and you hit your target thing, and it'll target the guy, you jump, you hit your combat, there's, like, a button for, like, swing my weapon, you hold that down, and your dude will, like, charge up mid-air. And then, like,
zoom toward
it. Yeah, it is so awesome. And you can do it, like a little bit of damage. If you, like, tap the button, he goes a little distance, and it doesn't do a whole lot of damage. But if you have a second to hold that button down for a minute, you can launch, like, the whole freaking map across at him. And it's like insta-gib when you get there. You're just like, you turn yourself into a rocket. The game is incredibly fun.
And that's only when you have your melee weapon.
Your melee weapon, yes. The game is incredibly fun until you bring the guns into it, was what I found. I tried playing in third person with the guns, and it doesn't work either. I tried playing first person with the guns, and it's just as bad as any other console first person shooter. But unfortunately, the game is a blast, and it does so many things so right, minus the guns and the music. This is an incredible game. You know, just would need a few more special moves. And there's tons of special moves, though. I mean, you have combos, right? You're mutators. Remember mutators from Unreal Tournament 2003 and 4?
Mm-hmm.
Or not the mutators, I'm sorry, the adrenaline.
Yes.
The adrenaline. I wasn't a big fan of adrenaline because you rarely got to use it, it seemed like.
It was tough to get
100% of that. And then if you did get 100%, you'd use like the speed one, and you'd be lucky to run around the map before it ran out and find one dude, right? This one, each character has a unique set of adrenaline skills.
Mm.
And they're fat. They're way cool. All based on the character. Like the necro goth people that kick ass, they've got like a shadow wraith thing, like a ectoplasm kind. Basically it makes them hard to hit. Makes two of them. So you don't know which one's a shadow, right? It's really neat. You've got like a kind of like a blood drain thing, I think. I can't remember what the hell it's called. You've got all these different crazy moves, though. An agility one makes you all hella fast and bouncing off walls and shit. I mean, the game is just fantastic, and it's really fun to watch your character bouncing on the walls. They need to take this engine and make it into something else now, right? They need to take that and just turn it into something else and scrap the guns. And I think we would be on to something.
I'm hoping that happens, because that seems like it'd be a really, really
It really does.
Game.
Like they need to take, like Prince of Persia, you know, like those guys, scrap whatever they're working on. Grab this engine, because it's fat. It is that good. I cannot stress this enough. There's over 40, there's supposedly about 40 maps for the Xbox so far.
I am way impressed. Who is Epic Games?
Yeah.
Yeah. They make some killer engines. I mean, Unreal 2004 is awesome.
That's Cliffy B, hard at work. they do. They really do. Oh, the adrenaline. This one, you get full when you grab, like, nothing. Or, like, it just fills up or something. Because I swear I've just been walking around and it's all adrenaline, 100% or whatever. Mm-hmm. You've got the same announcer guy that screams shit, but he's even cooler now because he's like, finish him! You know, and he's got all these other cool stuff that he says. And you actually, like, sit there and tear people up with your melee weapons and chop them into pieces. The game is fat. The game is so cool. I was having such a good time until I had to shoot people. And then all of a sudden it just was like, oh, this is weak. So I don't know what to think about that. I mean, it was really weird. It's got all the same normal Unreal modes that you would think would be there too. Capture the flag, deathmatch, team deathmatch. There was more. I just, you know, didn't get to see them. There was the guns. The guns, they had all the same guns, tweaked up a little bit. You know, like they had the bio rifle. But when you would shoot those globs of shit, they would go at the guy. They would hop towards them. You know, they wouldn't just sit there and be useless. You had a grenade gun now too. You could drop mines. You could shoot it in the air and blow people out of the sky.
Oh, the new plasma rifle. Or is that
God! No, what the hell is that thing called?
The one that you throw a ball. You shoot a ball out and then you shoot the ball and it explodes.
Yeah.
Everybody
whatever.
Knows what I'm talking about.
I can't believe I can't remember and I use a damn thing.
It's a shock. No, not shock rifle. Anyway,
you can make
the orbs pause now in midair, and you can shoot several of them. And if you shoot one of them, it causes a chain reaction as long as the orbs are close enough together.
How
so
awesome.
You like booby trap a hallway and stuff. That is sick.
It is awesome. It is really really cool. I mean, they did a great job. It would have been a great now take all that additions to the gun side of it. You know, and what else was there? There was the stinger, the little minigun that shoots, right? And then you could direct the bullets.
The bullets follow where your reticle is after you shoot it.
It's so cool. On top of that, you had a rocket launcher that shot like a random cloud of rockets, or you had your three or your regular one shot.
Some of those things, like that's gonna kill me that I can't remember the name. The orb one, that would be way overpowered if you had
a shock rifle.
No, that's a kind of like a sniper rifle.
Damn, I can't believe I can't remember this, Dan.
But you know how overpowered? That'd be way too overpowered if you had a mouse.
There's probably... It'd be so awesome, though.
Too overpowered.
Yeah, but you could probably shoot that, though, and send the reaction the other way, too. Like, if you were to come around the corner and see that shit, you'd know a guy setting up a room. And pop one, he'd blow his ass up. I think it'd be awesome.
That's
you know?
True.
You can set off a gas cloud even with that bio rifle thing. There was, they had the Ripper in there, and I hate this gun. They hate it, too, I'm convinced, because... Like, every Unreal game they've released, it's been called something different.
Mm-hmm.
And the function keeps changing. So I know they don't know what to do with it either. They just want to keep it because no other game has one.
What is it?
The Ripper, the Ripjack. The Buzz, whatever the hell they call it. They had different, every time it's a different name.
Did they have one in 2004?
Probably. I think it was called, shit, I don't know. But they've had different names every single time. I swear to God, every single time. I hate this gun. This gun sucks. And I'm convinced they think it sucks too. I'm convinced they do. Because they keep changing the way it works. So I don't know. I mean, but it's in there too. The game is just incredibly cool. Of course it has the flat cannon. You know, the equivalent of, like, the shotgun.
I love it.
Right? I know. I think that's pretty high on everybody's list, because it's so great. But the game is a blast. But then you run into these weird problems, where you've got the guns. It's like, it needs to be two separate games, and they would be two fat games if they would spend time just finishing up the rest of each one.
And I don't recall anything like this as far as the melee thing in a deathmatch situation.
I can't. The closest thing I can think of is like there was like Power Stone or something like that. It was crazy and it was cool. It was a lot of fun, but it's not this good. Nothing is this good.
I'm pretty sure there had been a few mods.
Probably. They might have even got the idea straight from that, but whatever. They did a hell of a job on this game.
But hopefully that opens up the door for a solid multiplayer
melee thing.
I think that'd be sick.
I think so, too. I would really like to play that. And I'm kind of disappointed it turned out the way it did. Because I like Unreal. I'm not a huge Quake player. In fact, I don't really like them very much. I like the Unreal games. And this is just, wow, I know this should be even better, and it's awesome, but it's just like, it's got some problems. But March 31st, this comes out.
If you're a big console FPSer,
You
have no choice.
You have to buy this game. It's fat. It really is cool. So, that's good stuff, though. I'm glad we got to talk about that, because I was really blown away. There was another game. This one I thought was going to be shit. And in fact, I think in the last couple shows, I was saying, well, not the last few, but in the past, I have said this, it doesn't look that good. In the screenshots I saw, it didn't look great. And everybody kept saying, it's for the PS2, it's called God of War. Everybody kept telling me how great this game is supposed to be. Oh, it's going to look great, it's going to be awesome, this game is supposed to be the shit. Everything I saw about it looked kind of ho-hum, whatever.
I can't even think about which game this is.
Well, I got to play it, and it's a lot of fun. It's like you're running around beating the crap out of stuff. It's kind of like, think of Prince of Persia, really. You know, I mean, you're this dude and you've got occasional jumping puzzles and whatnot, but a lot of combat. Like, what's the ones that Wolf used to play, the Chinese ones? Dynasty Warriors?
Oh, yeah,
It kind of reminds me of Dynasty Warriors.
Oh, really?
In the fact that there's like a billion dudes out there, right? But then there's things that would require some thought. Where I would grab the Prince of Persia reference from, you know, things that I had to stop and say, you know, what the hell do I do here? And basically, you're this badass dude who's got these two swords which have the Strider effect, where if anybody remembers playing Strider, which I think was one of the coolest games in the arcade ever, was that you would swing your sword, which was pretty short, and it would get huge, right? This dude can swing the half the length of the damn screen.
Did it, like, shoot stuff?
Your sword and Strider?
Yeah.
No. It just went, ching, 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 and it had this big, long arch. I have it here if you want to see it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
But it was fast.
That game was sick. I had it for the Genesis.
Yeah, yeah, that game, oh, that was weak, though. No, the arcade was dope. The arcade game was so the bomb. Different. I played the Genesis one. I didn't like it. I don't think it was the same game. Or maybe I'm thinking of the Super Nintendo one. There was one that was ghetto, and it was nothing like the arcade one. Then there's one that was a lot like the arcade one.
I don't know. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I thought it was coming out for the TurboGrafx-16, as a matter of fact, but I don't remember now. Anyway, this game, it takes a lot of stuff from mythology, so it's really cool. You've got all these gods, and you've got all this other crazy stuff, and demons and dragon type of crap, and you're way back in the day, you know, and you've got, like, people rowing boats and shit, you know. And you're, anyway, you've got these two big-ass swords, you know. No, yeah, boats are bad. In fact, I should have thrown into our little bad section about how terrible Suikoden 4 is. I should have mentioned that earlier. Boats are now banned from the show. If your game is water-based, you can go away. Because Suikoden 4, I'm sorry. Suikoden 3 is an amazing game. I loved it. Suikoden 4, I am not even considering buying that now.
The biggest problem I had is
the
combat felt slow.
It was slow.
Well, all turn-based RPG combat is slow. But it felt slow. I mean, it was like,
the menus weren't quick is what it was. It just wasn't snappy or something.
And three-fourths of the screen was cluttered with your goddamn group info.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to, you couldn't even see your group mates out on the actual floor.
Yeah.
You had like...
They were there though.
Yeah. At one little corner of the screen was not filled with some crap.
Yeah. The rest of it had like info of hit points and technique points and
your mana. If I want that, I'll go play a mud.
Yeah, it just, it's...
I'll go play some text-based thing if I want to...
The graphics weren't very good either. The graphics weren't good. The world looked pretty bland. It just, I don't know. I was not happy. It even had some striking, this was translated by our programmers messages in it, you know? It all healed or whatever it says.
Yeah, it all revived.
It was trying to say like all your stats have been restored, but it ended up three words that were no longer than like, four letters each, and most of them were like two. It was crazy. Whatever the hell it was, it all heal or something. Whatever the hell it was that game was terrible. But anyway, back to God of War because this was bad. I thought I was gonna hate it. Most of these button mashing crazy games like this don't have very good controls, have a bad camera or something. They fixed that by taking the camera control away from you, which at first I thought sucked, but then I discovered, hey, I don't really need it. They did a pretty good job of keeping me in tune of where I'm going.
Good.
You do suffer from the walking in the one side of the screen, and you pop out on another, and you're facing the wrong direction, and you're trying to move, but it's not terrible. I did run across a few ends of the world, though. You know, where you look like you can walk that direction, and there's just this invisible border. And that sucked. But that was me being a dumbass, trying to make sure I didn't miss anything.
Mm-hmm.
Not following the clear path that I see enemies at, and I see a doorway, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if I can walk over here, though. You know?
Yeah, but still, at least put a rock or something.
See, the problem came where there was the places that looked passable. Like, there was nothing there. It looked fine. I could have walked, right? Were impassable. And the places where there was impassable constructs of wood or metal or something in your way, you had to walk up to it and bash on it, and it would... So I got stuck in, like, the hull of this ship for a minute while I'm walking in circles, and I kept going down this hallway where there was, like, a... Like, the ship had been hit or something, and there was, like, crap blocking the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked down, and I'm like, well, I can't go this way. So I'd walk back, and I'm running in circles, and I'm like, this is stupid. And then finally, I was like, oh, wait, I bet I can knock that over. And sure enough, you can do that. But that's... I mean, it happened a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just, like, you think you can go one way, and you just gotta see... Realize that you can knock something over. There's nothing that flashes that you can do. You can hit it. You got these two swords, which your guy whips around faster than Zorro, man. It's crazy. He's just, like, going ballistic. He's like a damn blender. And it's cool because it seems like it gets longer the more you swing your damn sword around. So you're reaching dudes that are halfway across the screen. You're just beating their ass.
Huh.
You've got, you know, like a little jump. You've got a grab move. And your guy will, like, grab the dudes and start stabbing them. The animations are really fat. The graphics turned out to be way better than I thought.
What was that one Xbox game we were playing? Like a month ago now.
What was it? Did I own it or rent it?
No, neither. I think we had a demo.
I have no idea.
It was like this, only, I can't remember.
Alright, well, my thunder's been stolen.
Sorry.
This game was fun, though. No, you've got a light attack. Quick little slashes with your weapons, right? But they don't look ghetto. Your guy's whipping these two things around like they're like these tentacles almost. He's beating the piss out of everything on the screen. And he does a good job. It's smooth. I didn't notice any slowdown. And the graphics were actually fantastic. They really were nice. The sound was really good too. There was no magic in the demo I played though. That was the bummer because you had like power-ups you could get. And I could see myself charging it up and it would say, you've unlocked like Blood Fury or some shit. And I couldn't use it. It kept saying no. I really think this game is going to be really good, though, when the final thing is done and everybody gets their hands on it. I think they're going to enjoy it. It played really smooth and fast. The boss fights were awesome. You know what was the coolest thing right off the bat? The menu is awesome. The menu comes up, says new game, options, thing, you know, extras. The extras, there's a ton of unlockables. Making of, all kinds of shit. God mode.
That's always cool.
Challenges. You know, not just now you've beaten it, we're gonna give you God mode and make the game weak. Challenge mode. All kinds of cool unlockable stuff, right? They have, but the menu, anyway. You know, it's got the menu there, and then it had a, you know, it's a still menu. You're looking at this menu as if it's just a flat, still picture.
Mm.
And it's got like half the dude's face on it, right? And it's got the menu, and you scroll in the menu, and that's the only part that moves. Everything else is still. You hit new game, the face starts moving, but it doesn't change the graphic any. Like, you think, like, it looks like it was there and real the whole time right in front of you, but you didn't notice it. It really kind of was freaky because you hit new game and all of a sudden it starts talking to you and you're like, whoa. But then like the menu part fades out and you're like on the top of like Mount Olympus or something, which is telling the story about how the guy killed himself. Oh. Right? Which is how you came about to be him. It is cool. It was a really neat little introduction. It had a pretty cool little intro story thing. You know, it was not too long, not too wordy for an action game.
So there's just the one guy to be.
That I saw. Okay. I didn't also find out. I actually wrote this down. Find out if there's weapon upgrades, but I didn't find out yet. But either way, your guy kicks ass. You can grab people and stab them right there and just completely kill them. You can throw people up in the air. The amount of moves that I was discovering as I went was phenomenal. You could knock people up in the air, jump in the air, grab them in the air, and throw them down all with like two buttons.
Nice.
You know, yeah, you could, with the same two buttons that you would do other stuff with though. Because it was based on like, what other button you would hit. It took me forever to figure out if you block, and then like, let off a block and hit the light attack, your guy would jump in the air and spin in circles with his weapon out. And I mean, on the first room, I'm getting like 27 hit combos on people, because I was just tearing shit up.
Oh, I love those games.
It was good stuff, right? Now that isn't Devil May Cry 3 out now? I believe it is. Okay. That game, you see lots of gunfire and lots of button mashing in that. I'd rather play this. Mm-hmm. I would rather play this. And Devil May Cry 3 was fun. But this, I think, has a lot more going for it. The fights with the bosses set this game on top of everything else, I thought. Reminded me of epic boss fights on something like Panzer Dragoon Orta, where you're this tiny little pissant guy, and you're fighting these big-ass creatures that are whooping your ass. But the first thing they pitch you up against in this is this giant serpent thing that comes out of the water that's like attacking all the boats. And it's down, you're in the hull of a ship, and it's on the other end, and it's lashing at you, so it jumps at you every so often. And you can, turns out, the right thumbstick dodges for you. So, you don't move your camera, but you flip that to the right, your guy dives off to the right. But it's really quick. It's nice, because it's fast. So your guy's very, very agile. So you're dodging this thing, it'll lunge at you like on the left, so you dodge to the right, then you get up and start beating on it, right? Well then, once you beat on it to a certain point, you can do like it's basically a scripted move, right? Because you're using buttons that actually have other effects, but then the button will pop up on the screen. While you're in the middle of combat, you hit that button, and your guy will go from just slashing this creature to like grabbing its lower lip and like swinging it and being all "Hoo!" and toss it into the side of the ship, and it's all "Blap!" ow. Then it like another button will pop up, and if you miss it, you know you get hit. Like the guy will swing over and hit you. But if it plays like it reminds me of like Dragon's Lair, like back in the old, with Dirk the Daring, right?
Yeah.
You know, you hit the button though, and you would jump on its head. And, like, start beating it in the face. I mean, it was just like you had all these really cool moves. It was so well animated. It looked so natural. And you didn't have 750 different button combinations to worry about. Mm-hmm. Your buttons did the same shit. It just wanted you to press a different one every so often. It would tell you. And it would do something. Later on, you would fight the same... You would kill that one. And you'd fight another one that would pop out of the ground. And you're on the top of a ship now. And... You know, you're jumping over it would swoop underneath you, and you jump over, and you're slashing like hell, and it would knock you over. And if it hit you, it knocked you over. It would, like, hit the ground, knock you in the air, bite you, put you in its mouth. Well, then, if that happened, you'd start pounding on your circle button, and your guy, you'd see him crouched in his mouth, start prying the dude's mouth open, and he's all, right? Then he'd jump in the air and, like, hit the damn thing and knock it kind of dizzy, and then as your guy came flying down, you'd start beating on the way down. I mean, it was just like, wow, they put a lot of effort into the moves in this game, and it was so much fun.
That sounds really cool.
It really, really, I mean, it got the adrenaline flowing. I mean, it was good stuff.
But it's just you, right? It's not like you and an army. Like
no, it was me just kicking everybody's ass. And it wasn't like there was a billion people either. I mean, it was like, at most, I saw like maybe 10 things on the screen. You know, I mean, there was a point where I was fighting these bat things that were flying at me. And there was quite a bit of them, but I was mowing them down so fast, I wasn't sure how many there were. But I mean, I didn't get very far or nothing, but I was just having so much fun. And that's what it comes down to. This game is fun. The controls are good. The graphics are excellent. The sound is very good. This game is great. I really, really enjoy it. I'm happy to say that, because I thought this game was going to suck. Every now and again, you know, once or twice in Millennia, I'm wrong. You know, believe it or not, I was pretty happy with that game. Because I was really enjoying it. There was another game, though, that far and away stole the gaming week from me. So impressed by this game, I didn't need to play it, but for 10 minutes to know that I must play this game from start to finish. This was Ease. Everybody remember this? Ease? That's Y apostrophe S. Mm-hmm. Ease Book 6, The Ark of Nuftim or something. And as you can see, well, you can't see, but Cobar can see, my notes for this game. Uber, best game ever! There needs to be no more said about this game. This game retails for $39.99. I am going to say this game is worth $39.99. Because actually, if it was $50, I was going to say I'd pay $40 without batting an eye. Mm. And it's only $39.99. This game is so worth $40 because it is fun. Perfect controls. I thought it had fantastic graphics.
Yeah, and real clean, real crisp, real very, bright. And
very.
Very nice style. Like when stuff's blowing up, you get those little spears of light coming out the rocks before it actually explodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really digging
good
on that game.
Good effects for everything. Good animation. You could see your guy and all his little moves that he was trying to do. It was what I've wanted in a game for so long. Finally done correctly. It's on the PS2. It's $40. It plays like what would you describe it as? Kind of like a little bit of Zelda.
Yeah.
And a little bit of Secret of Mana. Like a little, okay. little bit of both, but not quite either. You know? It's cool because the other ones were action RPGs. This is an action RPG, but all 3D now. Not first person. This is third person view. Pulled up, you know, pretty far away too, which I like that. I like that I'm far away and I can see what's going on. Too many of these 3D games today, I can't fucking see what's going on and I hate the game. This game's pulled far enough away, you can see what's going on. You've got these three different swords, which give you different powers. They give you different, like, you get special abilities with them.
Different elemental hits.
You know, yeah, you've got all kinds of neat stuff. And it's really quick. The game plays nice and fast. Unlike my complaints, and a lot of people's complaints, with, like, the older Zelda games and the Minish Cap, where to change your inventory, you'd pause it, change the sword, change right. The item, unpause it, and play. You flip between your swords with one, you know, two buttons. You can rotate, you know, bam, whatever. You want a different sword. You got a bunch of moves at your disposal, you know, jumping in the air at certain directions or, you know, at an angle or on your way up or on your way down. You do different things. Mm-hmm. You know, it was orgasmic. It was... This game, I was blown away. Now, I didn't play, you know, a shitload of it by any means, but I guarantee you that I will, because as soon as I go back to work, I'm going to look for it on the shelf, because I guess it's out now.
It seemed like it was very simple in the best way.
In every right way. It brought a tear to my eye. I was getting a little weepy there. I really was. It was beautiful.
It doesn't try to do too much.
It does
what it does, and
exactly,
it does it well.
Exactly. It's set out to accomplish something, and I thought they did a fantastic job with it. It's got the nice, big anime characters. You know, like when they talk on the screen, you know, when they introduce a guy or whatever, it's like, bam, this huge picture of him with, like, the small little head of him, you know, on the bottom next to what he's saying.
Right.
Which I really dig. I like that style in those games. I like the good anime-style art, too. I really like that. This game's all over it. This is a can't-miss for somebody like me. If you play, you know what I want to say it's got a little influence from like something like Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance, Champions of Norrath,
yeah,
a little
so.
Bit of that, a little bit of, you know, just hack and slash running around, but there's puzzles, there's some role playing, there's a lot of equipment there, and it's got that nice Japanesey style to it, you know?
Japanesey!
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. it feels good. Like, I'd rather play that than I would something like Baldur's Gate or even, you know, the EverQuest, or what's it called? Champions Call to Arms or, you know, Champions right. of Norrath. Mm-hmm. I would rather play that than those. So, this game blew my freaking mind. So, we're going to hear more about that later because I can't stop talking about it, yet I don't have enough to say about it yet. You had quick
right.
access to your items for your potions and whatnot. You had other stuff going on there, magic type of shit, you know. It's fat. Cool boss battles. I gotta stop talking, but this game's fat. So, we did see some movies this week, and you actually saw a good one, and I saw a bad one.
Yeah, I saw Constantine, and I thought it was pretty good.
I've heard a lot of good things about
this. I was a little worried about the heavy religious theme.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all Catholic-y and stuff, and that's not my bag. They used it as the theme, but never anything but preachy. I mean, if anything, it kind of slamming the Catholic religion a little bit.
Cool. I'm all for slamming mind control bullshit. I hate religion.
Basically, you got, well, I can't even think of his first name, but you got Constantine.
Keanu.
Right, right. And, he is essentially a person that just goes around doing, performing exorcisms.
Oh, in the real world.
Right, right.
Okay, I was under the... I have not seen a preview for this movie or anything. Yeah, all I know is it's all of a sudden created quite a buzz, and I've been hearing about it in, like, EverQuest. People are talking about it. It's weird. That's the only reason why I hear of anything anymore.
I'm going to do my utmost not to give away anything important, but if I do, I'm extremely sorry. But basically, he's going around performing exorcisms, sending the demons back to hell. Okay? But when he was a kid, he had this sight that he could see, and he knew about the demons and whatnot, and so his parents thought he was insane. They committed him. He got all depressed, killed himself, and...
Wait, so he's alive?
Right. But he attempted suicide and died for like 2 minutes.
Oh, okay.
In the real world. But okay. When he went to hell, that ended up being like a lifetime, those 2 minutes, because time moves a lot faster in hell than it does here.
Oh.
So... because of the Catholic religion, he can't go to heaven. So he's doing all these exorcisms to try to earn his way back up.
Ah, gotcha.
But then it turns to the point where he sent half of hell's demons back to hell, and he's still going there when he dies. So he's not looking forward to dying. But,
I guess not.
The son of the devil...
It's like a cop going to jail.
Yeah. But the son of the devil is trying to get to Earth. And the law...
Nikki?
Yeah, actually. No, but the law is on both sides. None of the real angels and the real demons can go into the middle. Only the like the half-breeds.
Okay.
The people that are doing the influence, saying, you want to be bad.
Yeah.
And whatnot, can actually be on Earth. But he's trying to go in.
Crazy.
And so the whole point of the movie is... Constantine has to keep the son of the devil in hell.
Is this based on any kind of other story?
The name Constantine seems awful familiar to me.
I've never heard it before in my life.
I might be wrong.
Okay. Oh, I don't. I'm sure it'll say on the poster or something based on a true story or something.
I don't know if it's
according to the Church of.
But there are some really cool scenes. Like, there's this one part they get,
And it take place in modern day, or in the future, yes. In the past, or, oh, okay.
Modern day. There's this one really cool scene where they have to fight a whole bunch of demons. Possessed people and whatnot. No, I think they're actual half-breeds. Anyway, they take this, this cross that's been, it's a special artifact, and they dump it into the water system in the hospital, so that it blesses the whole water system, then he turns on the sprinklers,
yeah.
So it's raining holy water. It's awesome.
That's pretty cool. I really want to see that. I heard a couple of friends of mine on EverQuest that they went and saw it too. They like took a day off from saving the world with me to go watch a movie, and they said it was worth it. So
yeah.
This movie's probably worth watching. I'm gonna have to go check that out.
As far as the rating monetary system goes, I'll give it a 7. I was...
$7 out of $8. Uh-oh.
Oh, it's $8.50 now.
We changed... Okay,
actually,
right.
I think I even paid $8.75.
Holy crap!
But I can't remember for sure.
God damn!
Yeah.
That's robbery.
But,
You know what's robbery is Blockbuster. They want like $4 now or some shit for the movie.
For the overnight?
No, it's a week now.
They took away the overnight?
There's no option. You got that movie for a week. They are sucking you dry for every dollar they can get. This is why more people need to go to something like Netflix, because Netflix rocks.
But it gets a 7 because I was fully entertained, and I actually went in expecting less than I got, so that's going to affect the rating a little bit. Wasn't the perfect movie, but I was fully entertained.
That's good. Damn it, now I really want to go see this. I might actually have to go to the theater one day. That never happens to me. Oh, man. Damn it. That's a good movie. I'm gonna have to watch that. Yeah. That's good. That's good. I watched a crappy movie, and now we're gonna end the show on a sad, sad note, a bad movie, because I never thought the day would come where I would watch a movie with Ben Affleck, of all people, in a bad movie.
Everybody do it with me now. You see the light!
The Ben Affleck jokes are never ending fun around here. Come on now. I was pretty shocked, you know, because it's supposed to be a funny movie. It's called Surviving Christmas. It's got Ben Affleck as like this rich guy who cares only about himself, and you know, it's Christmas time, he's hanging out with his girlfriend, he's telling her that we're going on vacation for Christmas. We're going to Fiji. And she's like, the hell we are, I'm going to visit my family. He's not happy. He's like, no, I have this money, we're going here and doing this, and we're going to have a good time. And she's like, no, screw you, you're on your own. So he's like tripping. You know, the whole movie starts out with him like, oh, I'm fine, I'll be okay. Then he's like, the next scene, he's calling every single person he knows. What are you doing for Christmas, Bob? It's Drew, man, remember me from high school? You know, like, he just cannot get anybody to hang out with him. Well, I can't remember what happened, but somehow he wound up somebody telling him to. He was after his girlfriend's psychologist or something, trying to convince his girlfriend's psychologist to like tell her to come back to stay with him to go with him to Fiji. And the psychologist is like, you know, screw yourself. Why don't you do this? And says, go write down the list of your grievances with your family, all these things that you're pissed about. And go to, like, the place of your birth or something and light it on fire and say that you forgive them. Really cheeseball thing, right? And the movie blows. You're 20 minutes into it and there's been one funny scene where he's calling, you know, random people, basically. Mm-hmm. People out of his Rolodex he hasn't talked to in years, you know? And anyway, so he winds up on the lawn of his childhood home. He goes back home. And, of course, a different family lives there now and everything, right? He doesn't talk to his parents or anything.
Right.
And, the guy who's the father in the home is like Al from Home Improvement.
Oh, okay.
Right? I'm pretty sure that was the guy. So it was kind of funny to see him in a movie. I don't think I've ever seen him in a movie before. But this movie was just not that good. Christina Applegate is in it. A lot of people will say that's going to be the saving grace of this movie, you know? Because some people really like her. I don't know. I don't really care. I don't think she's great. I mean, she was pretty cool in that TV show, though. As Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was some good stuff. But anyway, like, it just... It was supposed to be a really funny, good Christmas comedy. And it was just stupid, because the family that lives there, he's like, this is my childhood home, I want to, like, relive my, like, whole Christmas thing, you know, and I'm going to pay you to be my family.
Oh.
So he pays him $250,000 for them to, like, babysit him.
What does he do?
He's some kind of lawyer or something. He's got all kinds of money. So he pays him $250,000 to like chill with him for like 2 days. And he's like, and they got a kid, of course. You know, they got a son who lives there and who's like spanking it to porn on the computer all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And like that was his old room though. So he's like, no, I'm sleeping in here. And there's like, you know, of course, a whole bunch of masturbation jokes in there. And then like turns out that Christina Applegate like. Was their daughter, and she wasn't there when he first got there. So when she comes into the picture, he's like all screwed up. He's like, no, I didn't have a sister. You know, this is screwing up the plan. This doesn't work. You know, and then he's like it was actually pretty funny. He's like, all right, you're gonna be our maid, you know, Guadalupe, and he keeps talking to her in Spanish. it's actually pretty funny. But then like the whole there's like four funny scenes in the whole movie, you know? It's just not that good. He makes the guy who's playing his dad do dumb stuff that like his dad did when he was like 10 years old, like wear the Santa Claus hat and go pick out the Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. And, you know, stand there while he puts on the car instead of help him with it, you know, and it's supposed to be a funny scene, and then there's a snowball fight, and, you know, the guy who's playing his dad just pounds his ass, you know.
Kind of sounds creepy rather than funny.
It is kind of creepy. You know, it's not a good movie at all. I couldn't, I mean, there's seriously 4 or 5 points where you laugh. And of course he gets all into Christina Applegate. Then his girlfriend finds out that he's living there and he tries to pretend that it's real family because he doesn't want to get caught. I know it's so twisted, but it's dumb. It's bad.
Okay.
Yeah, the movie just fell flat. I mean, it was not worth the $2 rental.
Mm.
It was not worth
Yeah.
Well, the rental now is like, what, $3.95 at Blockbuster, but I like to think I still only paid $2 for that because I feel robbed. So, I mean, it wouldn't even, I would have paid $1. I would have paid $1 for the 4 or 5 laughs I got throughout that movie. I did not like it. Yeah, it was not a good, I mean, how can you win versus this, you know, the holiday humor things when you're going up against Bad Santa? How can you beat that?
Yeah. Right?
Wasn't there another one with Ice Cube or something, or Ice-T, one of those dudes? It's Ice Cube, and it's a Christmas, it's called like Are We There Yet or something. Didn't that?
I don't think I've seen that one.
I haven't seen it, but I saw, like, I remember seeing like one preview for it months ago, and I never saw the movie, never heard anything. Can't remember what it's called. Can't remember a damn thing about it except for Ice Cube was in it.
Hmm.
It looked pretty funny, I thought, but I'm sure it's going to suck, but I want to see it.
Speaking of Ice Cube, they got that beauty parlor movie that
basically
Barbershop 8 or whatever.
Barbershop. Beauty parlor movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's
TV show?
No. It's the movie. Remember in did you ever see either of them?
No.
Oh. Well, in the second one, there was a beauty shop like across the street with Queen Latifah. And so the third one is going to be based off that.
Oh, God. Are they good or?
No. I mean, they're okay.
There's even a TV show.
They're worth watching.
There's a TV show that just came out based on a hair salon. It's called Cuts. And it's got Shannon, Elizabeth in it. The hot chick from American Pie.
Okay.
She's in it. It's a terrible show. Terrible show. It's called Cuts. It's stupid.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's not going to make it.
Does she at least have the accent?
No. No, she's like this, like, rich girl. Her daddy's paying for her to open a salon or something. And she's doing it with, like, her friend or some shit who's this... It's some black guy who used to do rap stars' haircuts or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he clipped some rapper's ear on accident. Now he's, like, he got totally demoted and nobody wants him to cut his hair anymore. And it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It's terrible. I wasted 22 minutes of my life, and I'm pissed.
Give it back.
Yes. I'm going to call NBC or BET or the WB or whoever the hell had that on, and I'm going to demand my 22 minutes back because it was terrible. And you're going to be calling us and demanding your hour and 25 minutes back because it's over.
Yep.
And we will see you next week. Hasta.
Bye.